Vander put on a pair of latex gloves and lightly held the dead man's hands, studying them, turning them this way and that. "Easiest thing's gonna be to slide off the skin," he decided. When a body was as decomposed as this one, the hand's top layer of skin slips off like a glove, and in fact is called a glove. Vander worked fast, sliding off the gloves intact from each hand and working his own latex-sheathed hands inside them. Wearing the dead man's hands, in a sense, he inked each finger and rolled it onto a 10-print card. He removed the skin gloves and left them neatly on a surgical tray, then popped off his latex ones before heading back upstairs. "Chuck, put those in formalin," I said. "We'll want to save them." He was sullen, screwing the lid off a plastic quart jar. "Let's turn him," I said. Marino helped us flip the body face down. I found more dirt, mostly on the buttocks, and got swabs of that, too. I saw no injuries, only an area over the right upper back that seemed darker than the skin around it. I looked at it through a lens, staring, blanking out my thought process as I always did when looking for pattern injuries, bite marks, or other elusive evidence. It was like scuba diving in water with almost no visibility. All I could make out was shades and shapes and wait until I bumped into something. "Do you see this, Marina? Or is it just my imagination?" I asked. He sniffed more Vicks vapors up his nose and leaned against the table. He looked and looked. "Maybe," he said. "I don't know." I wiped off the skin with a wet towel. The outer layer, or epidermis, slipped right off. The flesh beneath, or dermis, it looked like soggy brown corrugated paper stained with dark ink. A tattoo, I was pretty sure. The ink penetrated to the dermis, but I can't make out anything. Just a big splotch. "Like one of those purple birthmarks some people have," Marino offered. I leaned closer with the lens and adjusted a surgical lamp to its best advantage. Ruffin was obsessively polishing a stainless steel countertop and pouting. "Let's try UV," I decided. The multiband ultraviolet lamp was very simple to use and looked rather much like the handheld scanners in airports. We dimmed the lights and I tried long-wave UV first, holding the lamp close to the area I was interested in. Nothing fluoresced, but a hint of purple seemed to feather out in a pattern, and I wondered if this might mean we were picking up white ink. Under UV light, anything white, such as the sheet on the nearby gurney, will radiate like snow in moonlight and possibly pick up a blush of violet from the lamp. I slid the selector down and tried shortwave next. I could see no difference between the two. "Lights," I said. Ruffin turned them up. "I would think tattoo ink would light up like neon," Marino said. "Fluorescent inks do," I replied. "But since high concentrations of iodine and mercury aren't so great for your health, they're not used anymore." It was past noon when I finally began the autopsy, making the Y incision and removing the breastplate of ribs. I found pretty much what I expected. The organs were soft and friable. They virtually fell apart at the touch, and I had to be very careful when weighing and sectioning them. I couldn't tell much about the coronary arteries except that they were not occluded. There was no blood left, only the putrefied fluid called oily effusate that I collected from the pleural cavity. The brain was liquefied. "Samples of the brain and the effusate go to tox for a stat alcohol," I said to Ruffin as I worked. Urine and bile had seeped through the cells of their hollow organs and were gone, and there was nothing left of the stomach. But when I reflected back flesh from the skull, I thought I had my answer. He had staining of the petrous ridge of the temporal bones and mastoid air cells bilaterally. Although I couldn't diagnose anything with certainty until all toxicology results were back, I was fairly certain this man had drowned. "What?" Marina was staring at me. "See the staining here?" I pointed it out. "Tremendous hemorrhaging, probably while he struggled as he was drowning." The phone rang and Ruffin trotted over to answer it. "When's the last time you dealt with Interpol?" I asked Marino.
5, maybe 6 years ago, when that fugitive from Greece ended up over here and got in a fight in a bar off Hull Street."
"There certainly are international connections in this one. And if he's missing in France, England, Belgium, or God knows where, if he's some sort of international fugitive, We're never going to know it here in Richmond unless Interpol can link him with someone in their computer system.
You ever talk to them? He asked me.
No, that's for you guys to do.
You ought to hear all these cops hoping they get a case that involves Interpol, but if you ask them what Interpol is, they ain't got a clue,
Marino said.
You want to know the truth? I got no interest in dealing with Interpol. They scare me like the CIA. I don't even want people like that knowing I exist.
That's ridiculous. You know what Interpol means, Marino?
Yeah, secret squirrels.
It's a contraction of international police. The point is to get police in member countries to work together, talk to each other. Sort of what you wish people in your department would do.
Then they must not have a Bray working for them.
I was watching Ruffin on the phone. Whoever he was talking to, he was trying to keep it private. Telecommunication, a restricted worldwide law enforcement web. You know, I don't know how much more I can stand this. He not only counters me, he flaunts it, I muttered, staring at Ruffin as he hung up. Marino glared at him. Interpol circulates color-coded notices for wanted and missing people, warnings, inquiries, I went on in a distracted way, as Ruffin stuffed a towel in the back pocket of his scrubs and got a pill counter out of a cabinet. He sat on a stool in front of a steel sink, his back to me. He opened a brown paper bag marked with a case number and pulled out 3 bottles of Advil and 2 bottles of prescription drugs. An unidentified body is a black notice, I said. Usually suspected fugitives with international ties.
Chuck, why are you doing that in here?
Like I told you, I'm behind on it. Never seen so many damn pills come in with bodies, Dr. Scarpetta. I can't keep up anymore. And I get up to 60 or 70 or something, and the phone rings and I lose count and have to start all over again.
Yeah, Chucky boy, Marino said. I can see why you'd lose count real easy.
Ruffin started whistling.
What are you so happy about all of a sudden? Marino irritably asked, as Ruffin used tweezers to fill rows of pills on the little blue plastic tray.
We're going to need to get fingerprints, dental charts, anything we can, I said to Marino as I removed a section of deep muscle from the thigh for DNA.